Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Lesson 172, The Worthy Walk. In our last lesson, we learned about God's great revelation of the gospel and Paul's lofty privilege to know and share this message. We also were left to wonder at what it means to be filled with the fullness of God. Today we will learn how the high and privileged position of believers to be in Christ requires them to walk worthy of their calling. Paul begins the practical teachings of this book by making reference to the wonderful truths he presented in the first chapters when he says, "Therefore, it is important to look back at what was said previously to understand or be properly motivated to hear and obey what follows after." Paul says Christians are to walk worthy of their calling. He does not command this, but rather beseeches them, which means a strong appeal. Grace does not demand our response, but certainly should inspire it. The rest of Ephesians is taken up with what it means to walk worthy of being called Christians. Interestingly, Paul calls himself a prisoner of the Lord and not a prisoner of the Romans. In this chapter, the worthy walk includes having a proper attitude in the church, finding a place to serve in the church, putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Since we are saved by grace, we are to change our attitude first of all, such that God's people become precious to us. We are to act in all lowliness and gentleness, just as our Lord has shown us by His own character and example. We are expected to bear with one another in love and work diligently to maintain the unity of the Spirit among believers. We share in common the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit, our calling, our Lord, our faith, our baptism, and our Heavenly Father, who is above all and in all. It is only the Holy Spirit that can make us humble in character like our Lord Jesus and keep us living in true spiritual unity. Paul mentions the means by which Christians grow into maturity and unity in the body. This is done through the spiritual equipping of the saints to do spiritual work. Christ has provided for this equipping by giving various gifts to the church, including pastors, teachers, and evangelists. The apostles and prophets that Paul mentions were provided during the initial foundational period of the church, but after the church was firmly established, these two offices were discontinued by the Holy Spirit. It is unfortunate to see men who are serving the church as teachers or pastors and calling themselves prophets or apostles, since these ministries ceased shortly after the original apostles died. The intention of equipping Christians is not only to serve in the church for spiritual unity and growth, but also to be protected from every wind of doctrine. When believers are strong in Christ, they have discernment and will resist false teaching. Unfortunately, so many professing Christians lack the spiritual maturity needed for discernment, and thus these winds of doctrine are all around us, deceiving the masses. Men use cleverly thought-out plans to deceive gullible Christians, robbing them of their meager resources and preying on their simplicity to take advantage. God would have us strong in Christ, mature and discerning, learning the character of Christ and following His example. This is called putting on Christ. Christians are to speak the truth in love. You cannot have love without truth, and truth ought to be ministered in Christian love if it is to bring about a desired response. Christians are not only supposed to grow individually, but also corporately, by everyone doing their particular part of service within the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ is built up together in love. This certainly suggests some important and consistent interactions between believers, and so Christians are to actively care for one another. When putting on Christ, the Christian is also responsible to put away the old sinful man, which had controlled him entirely before he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. Putting away the works of the flesh includes such things as empty thinking, lack of understanding and spiritual blindness, unrestrained lust, filthy behavior, and greed. The Christian is given better alternatives and motives. He is not to take from others, but work in order to share with the needs of others. He is not to tell lies, but always speak the truth. He is to not allow himself to act sinfully when angry, and not go to sleep angry. Also, a Christian's tongue is to be marked by grace and not by filth, perversion, or malicious words. Putting on the new man involves putting away the old man. We first must destroy that part of our nature that enjoys sin and seeks the harm of others. If our attitude is controlled by the Holy Spirit and we are meek and lowly, then we will not be looking to hurt anyone, but rather to express the love and kindness of God. This affects the way we think, the way we see, and the way we feel, the way we work with our hands, the way we use our mouth, and the attitude of our heart. So we can see that Christ wants to take control of our lives and bodies entirely, so that we reflect His character in every possible way. As Christ is formed in us, we will find that the old man has less and less room to occupy until he is squeezed out, being replaced by the attitudes and behavior of our Lord Jesus Christ. One area I think we struggle with is in the area of our speech. In this chapter, we are told to not allow any unwholesome word to proceed from our mouth. But how often do we allow corrupt speech to come from our lips? It is so common to hear people use the Lord's name in vain, or to use bad words and insults. One of the marks of Christian maturity is not only to be generous and kind toward others, but also to control the use of our tongue. In the book of James, we read that the tongue is the most difficult part of our body to train to act righteously. It is so easy and tempting to say something that is not helpful, but can cause damage and hurt to others. While we talk of putting on the new man in Christ, it is important to recognize our need to be in a right relationship to Jesus Christ by trusting Him as Lord and accepting Him as our Savior. It is not possible to put on Christ until you have first placed yourself under His authority. If you want to be the captain of your own life, it will not matter how hard you try. You can never do the works of God, but just your own works. Why not turn in faith to Jesus now and ask Him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior? He is longing to save you if you are willing to be saved. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15.
Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we are to lay down our lives for the brethren.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we saw that the appropriate response to our blessings in Christ is to walk worthy of our Christian calling. This involves putting on Christ, putting off the old man, a transformed life of humility, care for others, and finding a place of service in the body of Christ. Someone might ask the question, what is the intended goal of Christ for His church? In today's lesson, we read how our Lord Jesus Christ gave spiritual gifts to the church, including apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It is explained why Christ has given these men to the church. It is for equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. But the goal is not simply to get all Christians working, but to get all believers mature in Christ, unified into one body, serving each other in love. So the ultimate goal is a church which looks something like a mature man who is complete. In life, we are all growing until eventually our physical, mental, and spiritual and emotional development have reached a fullness or completeness. In fact, no matter how long a man may live, he will never reach the end of maturing spiritually. But in the physical sense, there is a point in a man's life where we can say he has reached the pinnacle of physical condition. This is what the church aims for, a time when the church will be complete and acting like Christ, so that all parts are working and demonstrating a true picture of Christ. It seems the whole church will never reach this point of maturity before we arrive in heaven because of our tendency to fail in our spiritual disciplines of prayer and attention to God's Word. This is also true of any local church. However, any individual or any local church can certainly apply themselves so that they are well on their way towards this mature status in Christ. It is important to understand the goal of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving us. It is not just to rescue us from the flames of hell or get us inside the gates of heaven. His goal is to unite us together into a company of believers who find a way to serve the interest of fellow Christians, so that everyone doing their part brings spiritual growth to the whole company. Christ's goal and work in us is one of growth, maturing, and unity until we are considered perfect or complete, in the sense that we produce an accurate image of Himself. If we understand His goal, then we will not neglect the fellowship with other believers. It is vitally important to be gathered regularly with the church so that we can effect this purpose of spiritual development. The more time the church can spend together, pray together, teach and learn together, the greater will be the bonds of fellowship and the spiritual maturity. It is also important to recognize that spiritual maturity is not the same as being biblically educated. There are some men who are very well equipped to know and explain God's Word, but that does not necessarily mean they demonstrate maturity. Christian maturity has much more to do with Christian character than with spiritual knowledge. Both are required, but character is the first thing mentioned in this chapter because it is the first and most important requirement of walking worthy of the Lord. We learned that Christ provided several different gifts to help the church reach this goal of maturity. It is therefore important for us to understand these particular gifts and how they are applied to the church. The five gifts mentioned are men who are uniquely fitted to equip the church for its spiritual development. The apostles were men who witnessed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and were directly sent forth by Him to make disciples and teach them. The prophets of the New Testament were those who provided us the revelations of the New Testament teachings and who were often also apostles such as Peter, John, and Paul. Evangelists are those individuals who have been gifted to help others win souls for Christ effectively. Pastors are those who train others to provide spiritual care to God's people, looking into their individual lives and being available to offer spiritual help and counsel. Teachers are those who are gifted to help equip others to teach the Word of God. While evangelists, pastors, and teachers carry out their own ministry to the Lord, they are also to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. This should help us to see that distinctions between clergy and laity are not scriptural. Everyone is to be equipped to do the work of the ministry, and these gifted men are responsible not to do all the teaching or evangelizing, but to equip others to do the work. By this means, the goals of spiritual maturity will be reached faster and more effectively. What part are you playing in the church to serve the spiritual needs of your brothers and sisters? If you come to church just to listen to sermons, you have missed the mark of what Ephesians 4 is teaching us. We are all to be involved in the process of serving, teaching, evangelizing, so that the church can be complete in Christ. Let us cooperate with the goals of our Lord Jesus Christ by contributing to the maturing of the church, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. Blessed is the Lord.